This is VOA News in Washington. I'm Jeff Custer. Talks in Saudi Arabia to find a peaceful settlement to war in Ukraine Saturday concluded after lengthy discussions but no final statement. Dale Gavlak reports for VOA from Amman, Jordan.
Senior officials from some 40 countries, including the U.S., China, and India, are in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, to discuss peace principles aimed at ending Russia's war in Ukraine. Russia did not attend the talks. China, which did not attend previous talks in Copenhagen in June, has kept close economic and diplomatic ties with Russia, rejecting international calls to condemn Moscow. Ukraine sought to build a broader consensus beyond its Western backers to include countries from the global south, as well as those considered neutral or even allies of Russia. Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky hopes a peace summit of world leaders will result this autumn in the endorsement of peace principles based on his 10-point peace formula. Dale Gavlak for VOA News, Amman, Jordan.
Ukraine says Russian airstrikes hit a blood transfusion center in the town of Kupiansk in eastern Kharkiv region late Saturday. Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky reported from his Telegram social media channel that there were dead and wounded. Kupiansk is a railway hub within 10 miles of the front lines. Zelensky said rescue workers were extinguishing a fire at the scene and described the strike as a war crime. He did not say how many people were killed or wounded. Russia denies deliberately targeting civilians in a full-scale invasion that has killed thousands of people, uprooted millions, and destroyed cities. Reuters news agency could not immediately verify the report. Earlier, Russia had vowed retaliatory strikes for Ukraine drone attacks against two Russian ships within 24 hours on the Black Sea. More information on these stories and all the stories we're covering today can be found at our website, voanews.com. This is VOA News. Former Pakistani Prime Minister Imran Khan was arrested at his residence in the eastern city of Lahore Saturday after a lower court in the capital convicted him of corruption. The decision could disqualify him from running in upcoming elections. VOA Pakistan Bureau Chief Sarah Zaman reports.
Khan was accused of selling state gifts worth $635,000 and deliberately concealing the proceeds. He was not present in court when the judge handed down a three-year prison sentence and a $350 fine. Khan's party, the Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf, called the verdict a black stain on the face of justice. In a message to supporters, party Vice President Shah Mahmood Qureshi said Khan did not get a fair trial. According to Pakistani law, Khan now is disqualified from running for office for 5 years, unless the conviction is overturned. Information Minister Maryam Aurangzeb said the verdict was not politically motivated. Khan's arrest in May saw violent nationwide protests. This time, the leadership urged supporters to remain peaceful. Khan's legal team has announced it will appeal the verdict in higher courts. Sarah Zaman, VOA News, Islamabad.
South Korean officials decided Saturday to press on with hosting the World Scout Jamboree, despite warnings about the dangers posed by the extreme heat the country is enduring. Reuters correspondent Olivia Chan has more.
Tens of thousands of scouts aged between 14 to 18 years old had flocked to Semangum on South Korea's west coast. Temperatures have hit over 91 degrees Fahrenheit. Hundreds of participants have already fallen ill due to the searing temperatures, prompting complaints from parents over the safety of their children. Kristen Sayers from the U.S. state of Virginia said her 17-year-old son Corey's dream to take part in the Jamboree at a cost of $6,500 had turned into a, quote, nightmare.
But it sounds like the problems with this go way beyond the heat. There's not enough food, there's not enough water.
The government promised more water trucks, air-conditioned spaces and medics in an attempt to save the event, which is set to run till August 12.
That's Reuters correspondent Olivia Chan reporting. Protests against the Israeli government's judicial reforms have entered their 31st week. Last month, the Israeli government passed the first major piece of legislation in Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's plan to overhaul the country's legal system, part of a broader plan that triggered the nationwide protests, divided the country, and rattled the powerful military and influential business community. The plan seeks to weaken the country's Supreme Court and transfer more powers to Parliament. Supporters say Israel's unelected judges wield too much power, but opponents leading the protests say the judges play an important oversight role, and the plan will push Israel toward autocratic rule. In Washington, I'm Jeff Custer. This is VOA News.